Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us tonight. Actually, tonight is going to be a continuation of last night, because those of you who were with us last night, I started out on a message, and quite frankly, the Holy Spirit led me a different way. And I never did get to finish the message I started out with, because the Holy Spirit led me into a message on prayer. And if you missed it, you can send for the copy of the tape, and we'll gladly send you one. Because one of the things that's really lacking in the body of Christ worldwide is the effectual prayer. The Word of God says the effectual prayer of a righteous person will availeth much. Notice the word effectual. Two things there. One, you've got to be righteous. You've got to be holy before God. You've got to be walking in holiness and repentance, which most people aren't. Quite frankly, most people in the church do not walk in holiness. They do not walk in repentance. They do not meditate on the Word of God. They do their 1 hour church service a week, and they can't wait to get out of that. And I've been in a couple of those churches. I don't blame them. I couldn't wait to get out either. But they can't wait to get out. They've even got the turkey at home in the oven, and they got it set for an hour and 15 minutes. So they cannot afford to stay in that church 1 second longer. And that pastor better limit his message to that amount of time, or they'll find a new one. And like I say, they go there to be entertained anyway. We get all the big sports stars. And what I love is when they bring in the Hollywood stars, especially the females, with everything hanging out all over, and they're supposed to be saved, and we're supposed to believe this. But anyway, the effectual prayer of a righteous man or woman. Effectual. It means to know how to pray. It means that you understand what God says stops or hinders or slows down your prayers. So if you've been praying for years and getting nothing out of it, please write for the booklet. And we'll tell you what's wrong. Write straight from God's Word. And believe me, it has nothing to do with money. You don't have to buy anybody's tapes. You don't have to pay anybody anything, because God gave it freely. Even the book is free. And we're not going to put you on a mailing list, because we don't have one. I couldn't put you on if I wanted to. We don't have one. But anyway, before I get off on that again, let me finish. We started out last night, for those of you who were not with us, on the Gospel of John in chapter 4, and we're talking about the woman at the well, when Jesus went to talk to the woman at the well, and why he did that, because he went out of his way to go there. And I'm going to start on verse 29, chapter 4, verse 29. The woman now has met with Jesus. Jesus has told her all about the men she's had, that they were not her husbands, and the guy she's living with now is not her husband. And in verse 29, she goes back into the community. And she's talking to the people in town there, and she says, "Come, see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is this not the Christ?" Now, I don't know how much Jesus told her that, you know, obviously it's not all written down in here, but apparently the Lord told her a great deal about herself. She realized that no one could know these things other than herself and God. Thus she realized that he was the Christ. Because in their religion, in the Samaritan religion, which was a messed up religion of statues and relics and different forms and everything else, the one thing that they did have right, and it was about the only thing, they did believe in the messianic message that a Messiah, a Savior, was to come. And Jesus told her that Savior was to come from the Jews, and that he was in fact that Savior. And now she goes back into town and she says, "Look, come on out, and you got to see this guy. He told me everything I ever did. Now who could do this but the Christ?" This is what she's saying. In verse 30, Then they went out of the city and they came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They had now returned from town, and they had the meat with them. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And therefore said the disciples one to another, Has any man brought him something to eat that maybe we don't know about? You see how worldly they are? They're constantly thinking of the world. And that is the church today, constantly thinking of the world. If we would set our mind on the Spirit, if we would follow, we're not commanded to follow the world, we're commanded to follow the Spirit. If we would follow the Spirit, we would realize what God has for us. So in verse 34, Jesus says unto them, My meat is to do the work of him that sent me and to finish his work. In other words, my fulfillment. My joy, my happiness, health to my bones, everything else is in obedience unto the Father who sent me. It hasn't changed any. It's still the same for us today. Jesus was our example. Our meat is to do the will of him who sent us. And he that reapeth... verse 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. For behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And I want you to hear this today. As I shared before, I had a totally different message. Had it all prepared. It was a good message. I would have liked to have preached it. And the Holy Spirit came upon me and said, no, this is what I want preached tonight. Hear this again. God is talking to you right now. Listen. Close your eyes. You'll hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Let me give that to you in today's language, if I may. I hear you saying, another 6 months I'll have the mortgage paid for, I'll have the car paid for, another 6 months Sally will be out of college, another 6 months George's retirement will kick in. Everybody's got an excuse. But Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is saying to you, look, open your eyes. You got an ear to hear? Listen, open your eyes. Hear the crying of the people. We travel approximately 75 to 100,000 miles a year. Thank God, because I get to travel in all the third world countries where the Spirit of God is really moving. You don't see it here because there's no need of it here. And quite frankly, the people don't want it here. They want to be entertained. But the Spirit of God is moving. Lift up your eyes and look. Look at the fields. In other words, God is saying, are there not multitudes of millions out there right now, today, that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you not get up and go? And if you can't go, at least help somebody else go. You don't have to help me. Pick out anybody you want. Anybody you believe is preaching the truth from the Word of God. And help them. For how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless one is sent? It is ripe for harvest today. For we are living. We are living in the last days. We are no longer going to the original people that were invited. We don't go to the church anymore. On our crusades, we don't even bother with the church. Years ago, we used to hold crusades in the churches. Don't even do that anymore. Because God has spoken so clearly to me and to many, many other men of God that I've shared with around the world. And God has said, the time now, now is the time to go to the highways and the byways. And invite them all, good and bad. Invite them. Share the gospel with them. Invite them in. Good and bad. Why? Why the good and bad? Because some will change. They will hear the Word of God, and they will change. They will allow the Word of God to take root, and they will change, and they will begin to walk in the new creation. Some won't. Some will find that the cost is too high. Some will find that they cannot separate from their ungodly, God-hating families, from their drunken, pot-smoking buddies, from their girlfriends who go out one night a week with the girls to go in all the bars. If that's what you want to do, why did you ever get married? Some won't separate. Some will not walk in holiness. They will keep doing the same things they did before, but now they're doing them in God's name. Oh, it's all right. God is love. Yes, He is love. But you cannot have love without justice, which equals out the scales. You've got to have justice. And God has to judge the righteous and the unrighteous, and He will. Before you know it, we will be at the judgment seat of Christ very, very soon. Now is the time. Now is the day. Now is the time that the Holy Spirit is speaking to get right with God. Believe me, when you stand before the judgment seat of God, you will not be concerned about your mortgage, whether or not Sally finished college, your IRA, your money in the bank. You won't be concerned with any of that because Jesus doesn't care. But He is going to ask you some other things. He's going to remind you that I said to go and feed the hungry and visit those sick and in prison, and to preach the gospel unto all creation, to go into all the world preaching this gospel, not a gospel of financial gain where I'm going to sell you some tapes for $800, not that gospel, but this gospel, which is free, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will send forth His Holy Spirit. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus appeared to the disciples, and there, even though they had watched, they had been there. I've never understood this, but they were there. They watched this, and they knew the Scriptures. And they watched Jesus minister for approximately 3 years. They watched Him be crucified on that cross. They watched Him carried to the sepulcher, to the grave. And now, 3 days later, He has risen from the dead. He has gloriously risen from the dead. And the doors are all locked and barred, and suddenly Jesus appears to him in the room. And one of the first things they ask him is, Lord, are You now going to give us the kingdom? What they were speaking of is the kingdom of Jerusalem. Are You now going to throw out the Romans and give it to us? Are we now going to be... They're still thinking in the world's way. And Jesus basically said, look, that's not up to you. The times and dates have been set by My Father. But you, this is what's important for you. And He's speaking it to you today. He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until power from on high. The word that is used there is dunamis. And it's where we get our word dynamite. From on high is bestowed upon you. And then shall you be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria, and literally unto the ends of the earth. In other words, in today's language, you know, I don't care where we are, what kind of a crusade we're on, so many people will come up in the prayer line, and if they don't say it, the Lord will. But God will speak to me and say, my son, tell this one or that one that I have called them. They know it. I've called them and I've anointed them to go forth with the gospel. And I will tell them, brother, the Lord has given me a word of knowledge that you have been called. God has already called you. God has spoken to you. I don't know how long ago. I don't know if it was privately or he spoke to you in prophecy in the church or what, but God's called you. And he's told you to go forth with the gospel. Yeah, that's true, I know that. But, oh boy, you should have heard my wife when I brought that up. You know, I mean, she's so worried about the job and the money coming in. I know so many potential powerful men of God. I say potential because they're never going to get there. Because they're more afraid of their wife than they are of God. You know, God is so good, so loving, that sometimes when something's in your way, stopping you from getting to God, he's so loving, he will remove it. You really want him to permanently remove that stumbling block? You really want him to remove your wife and kids and all them things you use for an excuse and hide behind? I would counsel you, it would behoove you to find out what's stopping you from obeying God and remove that obstacle before God himself removes it. The fields are ready to harvest. 30-some years we've been in the ministry, and I've never seen the altar calls like we see now. I remember 30-some years ago, you'd give an altar call, and maybe 10, 15, 20 people would come up. Now, there are several thousand that come up. Because the Holy Spirit, God, is moving upon the people. All whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God is moving upon them and causing them to come forth. And we have but a short amount of time left to teach them and to cause them to grow in the things of God. That they may grow into the ministry God has called them to, that they may go out and share the gospel with others, that they may go unto the whole world, and God will make a way. He'll make a way where there is no way. He'll open a door where there is no door. That's all you've got to do is respond. God created us to be receivers. He's the giver. All we got to do is receive. Yes, Lord, I'll go. You just open a door, you just make the way, and I'll be gone. And you'd be surprised how fast God will make the way. There was a man, and this wasn't too long ago, in one of the bigger churches. And during the service that day, they had a time when it was a ministry in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't planned. It wasn't on their little calendar for that day. But irregardless, God is sovereign, and he began to move. And there was a prophecy that came forth for this young man, and God had spoken to him, and I don't know the exact words, but God said basically that he was going to send him to Asia and China and that area to minister his word, to evangelize. And the guy said, I don't know how that's going to happen. I know it must cost, you know, a couple thousand dollars to get a ticket to go there. I don't have any money at all to my name. In fact, I just got laid off. I'm between jobs. And that's all he said. And the Holy Spirit continued to move, and the service went on. And towards the end of that service, the guy went to the back door of the church, and he was just standing there. I don't know who he was waiting for, but he was standing there waiting for the people to go out. And an amazing thing happened. As the people were going out, they kept reaching in their pocket, and they kept coming out with bills, and they were stuffing them in his shirt pocket, stuffing them in his trouser pockets, and everything else. And by the time that church, nobody had said a word to him, but by the time that church emptied out, just about everybody, had stuffed some money in. I mean, this guy had money sticking out of his shirt pockets, his suit coat, his trouser pockets, everything. And when he counted it up, I heard this a couple of weeks later, when he counted it up, he had enough money for the plane ticket to go over to China or Japan, I forgot which one he was going to, to pay all of his bills off, to take care of the things that needed to be taken care of before he went. And some money left over. You think God can't work in a hurry? When God wants you to go, he'll take care of it. Best thing in the world, the greatest thing that can happen to you is to be stone cold broke. It really is. Don't complain about it. It's wonderful. Because that way, when the door opens and the money comes in, you know it's God. You don't have to worry. You know it's God. And you can go off and be just filled with thanksgiving and happiness because God and God alone is sending you off. And He's going to be with you. He's going to anoint the words. And He's going to bring forth the signs and the wonders after you minister or during your ministry, whatever, that they're going to know that a man or a woman of God has been among them. It's the greatest thing in the world, my brothers and sisters. Church, you need to listen up. God didn't call you to sit there and warm that pew for the next 20 years. And as I've said before, if there's some reason you cannot go yourself, at least help somebody else to go. Doesn't have to be me, that's for sure. Just pick anybody. Anybody you believe is preaching the truth from the Word of God, and help them go. And in verse 36, the Word of God, and Jesus is still speaking, He said, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life." Two different things. One, he receives his paycheck. And he gathers fruit for life eternal. Let me tell you something. If you're walking in holiness, in righteousness, in repentance before God and before your fellow man, your brothers and sisters, you're obedient unto God, you're doing what He tells you to do, you never have to worry about your paycheck. You will get paid. And every need you have will be met. And you don't have to ask anybody for any money. You don't have to sell any tapes. You don't have to sell any books. If you're truly working for God, you're truly being obedient to His Word, God will meet your need. In the 30-some years that my family has served the Lord, we have never had a need. And in all those years, I have never once asked for an offering. I've never taken one. Because God is able to speak unto those that He would have support this ministry. And God will speak to people that I don't know, never heard of before, and will probably never meet. And you wouldn't believe the amount of the checks they send sometimes. But God will meet the need. I don't care what it is. Whether you need a new place to live, you've outgrown your home. You know, we just spent almost 2 years in Australia, and when we came back, we needed everything. I mean, we needed cars and houses and, you know, you name it, we needed it. Just washers, dryers, that whole thing. And you can imagine how much all of that would cost. But again, God opened the doors, and God supplied everything we had a need of. And it got to a point there for about 2 or 3 weeks when all I could do is cry and weep for joy before God, thanking Him and praising Him and giving Him glory for all that He had done. And He spoke to people halfway around the world. God is able to speak to people. A lot of people don't want to hear Him. They will plug up their ears, but that's okay. He'll just go on to the next person. If they don't want the blessing, He'll give it to somebody else. And if you will do that, if you will obey God, He will make your wages. He will pay your wages. I'd rather work for God than anybody else. I don't trust anybody else. God, I trust. You know, I see people getting on a 747, and I don't know whether they realize it, but they're giving their whole life by faith into that pilot's hands. They don't even know the guy. They don't know if he even graduated from flight school. They don't know anything about him, and yet they're going to place their entire life and the life of their family in his hands. And then they don't have the faith, they don't have the trust in God to obey him. Remember Elijah when he told the widow, "I understand you only got a little bit of dough, you just got enough for you and your son, but first, before you eat, go make me some, and then God will make sure you never run out." Thank God. Thank God she had an ear to hear. Thank God she was obedient. She could hear the Lord. She had discernment. And she went and fixed the cake for Elijah first. And the word of the Lord said her oil never ran dry. And the flour barrel never went empty. Same thing will happen to you. God hasn't changed. He's same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He will make sure that every need in your life is met. It's so wonderful working for God. But the greatest part is the last half of that, for you gather fruit unto eternal life. In other words, you got a pension plan here that will blow your mind. You got a retirement plan here that's out of this world, literally. For all eternity, time without end, it'll never stop. You'll be in the presence of Jesus, you'll be in heaven. And no, you're not going to sit around playing a harp. Thank God, because I don't even like the sound of them. But you know what you are? The Word of God says that you're going to rule over other worlds. I don't know where they are. I don't know how we're going to rule over them or whatever. But, I mean, God has something for us to do. And I can be out here ruling over some planet, some world, someplace, and at the same exact time, I'll still be standing before the Lord. Be in both places at once. And I can worship God. And I can look upon His glory and His beauty. Can you imagine that? Every day for eternity I can look upon the Lord in all of His glory and all of His beauty, and I'll have the mind of Christ and I'll understand all things. What a pension plan that is. That both he and the one that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. We're both going to go there together. Isn't that wonderful? We're both going to go there together. And herein is a true saying, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored. Other men have come before you, and they have shared. There may have been 10 people there before you who have shared with that man. And yet when you get there, the Holy Spirit has been convicting and convicting and convicting with everybody that's come. And now you show up on the scene and you minister to them. And there is enough conviction there that that person begins to weep and cry. And he will come to you and say, show me how I accept Jesus. And that's all that's to it. Before you know it, you'll both be praying and he will be saved.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the alarm call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.